we present The Long Goodbye by Raymond Chandler, dramatized in 3 episodes by Bill Morrison, with Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Episode 3, California, 1953, at the home of Roger Wade.
I'm so sorry. I forgot my keys. I thought it was Candy.
Why? It's his day off.
Oh. Oh, yes, of course. Why are you here? Is anything wrong?
Well, there's a little drinking being done. I looked in a while ago. He was asleep on the couch in the study. I was down by the lake. It was lucky the speedboats had stopped. I wouldn't have heard your bell.
Will you have some tea? I'm going to have some.
Okay.
Would you see if he's still all right? Well, will I go upstairs for a moment?
Sure. Oh, Christ. I knew by the smell in the air. The Webley lay between his chest and the back of the couch. The side of his face was a smeared mask. He was still warm. He hadn't left a note. The shot must have been muffled by the speedboat. His final impulse had coincided with it. I didn't touch him. All I took was the papers he had written the previous night. I had some questions to ask.
Well, well, Philip Marlowe. You're always finding bodies, Marlowe, ever since I've known you.
I thought you were still on the DA's staff, Bernie.
I am now Lieutenant Bernard Olds, Assistant Chief of Homicide, so be polite.
I'll try, Lieutenant. How is Mrs. Wade?
Too relaxed. She must have grabbed some pills. There's half a dozen kinds up there, even Demerol. And that's bad stuff. It's a pity she moved the body.
She was rocking him in her arms.
She said an interesting thing to me. She said you killed him.
She didn't mean it literally.
You supposed to watch the guy when he's alone?
No. I was asked to, but I turned the job down. But things kept happening, and I kept having to pick him up.
Lieutenant, is there anything else you want from me?
Dr. Loring, yeah. What did you give her Demerol for, Doc?
I prescribe for my patient as I think proper. I'm not required to explain why.
She's got a regular drugstore up there. And you just hand them on, huh? Is the lady suffering from something serious?
A drunken and violent husband can be a very serious complaint indeed for a sensitive woman.
You wouldn't treat him, huh?
That is impertinent. I shall report you.
Yeah, do that.
Look, let me make it clear. I do not treat alcoholics. And I shall do exactly what I think best for Mrs. Wade. She suffers from asthma. Goodbye.
Well, you gotta be diplomatic with his kind of people.
Do you know whose son-in-law he is?
Yeah. I'm bleeding internally with panic. Still, it means there'll be no reporters on my back. You want to blow?
If you'll let me. I thought I was a suspect.
We might oblige you later. You were alone in the house with him. But so far, it's a typical suicide wound. Too much blood on the gun for Prince.
Oh, make sure you check the alcohol concentration in his blood.
Yeah, it might be too high. But somebody would have to come along, know where the gun was, find him drunk enough to be asleep, wait for the speedboat to make enough noise. I'm assuming if you were going to kill a guy, you'd do it a little less obviously. I don't buy it.
Yeah. I'll be home if you want me.
Do that. You know what else I don't figure? This man, Wade, was a big-time writer. I mean, I don't go for his sort of crap, but I'm just a cop. He had the dough, reputation, beautiful wife, house. What the hell made all that too tough to live with? Now, if you know, you'd better get ready to lay it on the line. See ya.
When I got home, I mixed a stiff one and stood by the open window and listened to the groundswell of traffic on Laurel Canyon Boulevard. And looked at the glare of the big angry city hanging over the shoulder of the hills. Out there in the night of 1,000 crimes, people were dying, being maimed, cut by flying glass, crushed under wheels, being beaten, robbed, raped, and murdered. People were hungry, sick, bored, desperate with loneliness or fear, cruel, feverish, shaken by sobs. A city. Rich, vigorous, and full of pride. Lost, beaten, full of emptiness. It all depends on where you sit and what your own private score is. I didn't have one. I didn't care.
Hey, Marlowe.
Lieutenant.
Ah, call me Bernie, like the old days.
Okay, Bernie, join me in a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and a donut, buddy. What did you think of the inquest?
Kid gloves.
You liked the suicide verdict, didn't you?
What else could it be?
Yeah, I'm past 50. I'm an old cop. And an old cop is an old bastard. Philip, I don't like a few things about this.
Such as?
I don't like that he left no note.
He was drunk.
That guy wrote letters to himself. Drunk or sober, he hits that typewriter. That guy would have left a 2-page letter. The next thing I don't like is that he pulled the trigger just when the boat would hide the shot. And the wife forgot her keys on the staff's day off. She rang the bell. She could have walked around the back. Suppose she arrives, sees you down by the lake, didn't forget her keys, went in, got the gun from wherever it was hidden, waits for the right moment, plugs in, goes out, then rings the doorbell.
Yeah, you forgot the basic question. What motive?
Yeah, that knocks it. If she wanted money, she could have divorced him. She had a good cause, Sylvia Lennox. And she had to arrive at just the right time. Unless you were in on it with her.
What kind of a crack is that?
The Mex houseboy says you were in her room the night before. He said a lot of things he couldn't prove.
Oh, lay off, Bernie.
You were pretty helpful to those people, and you didn't make a dime. You were pretty helpful to Lennox, the way I hear, and you didn't make a dime out of that. What do you do for eating money? You got a lot saved up so you don't have to work no more?
I'm a romantic. I hear voices crying in the night, and I go see what's the matter. You don't make a dime that way. I've got a $5,000 bill that I'll never spend because something was wrong with the way I got it. I take it out and look at it once in a while, though.
That must be a phony. Except they don't make phonies that big. So what's your point with all this yap?
No point at all, Bernie.
Yeah? I know when I'm being kidded. And I know when a guy is holding out on me. The wise guy never fools anybody but himself. Take it from me, I know. There's my dimes. For the coffee and the donut.
Okay, shake it, Carl. Come on, shake it.
Hello, Mindy.
Oh, hello, T.P. Hey, sit down and talk. I'm looking over some acts for my floor show.
Yeah, you could cut your throat for one.
And what would I do for an encore, huh? Okay. Take a break, kids. You've been keeping your nose clean, T.P.?
All I want is some more information, Mindy. Like about Paul Marston.
Never heard of him.
That was the name Terry used one time in New York.
So?
There's no record in those names with the U.S. Army. So either that foxhole yarn of yours was all tamales, or it happened somewhere else.
Take a kind word and forget the whole thing, huh?
You mean I do something you don't like and I'm swimming to Catalina with a streetcar on my back? Don't scare me, Mindy. You ever been in England?
You read the evening paper?
No.
Front page story about Big Willie Magoon, the vice squad bimbo. Seems he tried to shake down 4 boys in a car with a Las Vegas registration. Now he has both arms in plaster and his jaw wired in 3 places and 1 leg in high traction. Magoon ain't tough anymore.
Yeah. Were you ever in England, Mindy?
We weren't fighting for the Germans. We were patriots, Cheapy. Okay, yeah, it was a British commando unit. It happened in Norway, on an island off the coast, 1942. Now will you lie down and rest? Terry was my pal. I got feelings too, you know? Okay, girls, we shall you back then. And remember Big Willie Magoon. He'll never dance again.
Oh, your secret is safe with me.
Come on, girls! Keep it moving! Let's have some action here!
I called George Peters at the Carn organization and asked him to get in touch with their investigators in London. It took 5 days to get the answer I wanted. By then, Howard Spencer was back in town. He was still after Wade's unfinished novel. I told him what had happened, and Bernie Old's suspicions, and asked him to take me to see Eileen Wade. I needed a witness.
I don't know anything about this, Eileen.
Of course.
I see you're wearing that pendant again.
I often do. It was given to me by a very dear friend a long time ago.
It's a British military badge, isn't it?
A jeweler's reproduction of one, yes.
May I see it?
Yes. Why are you so interested? It's the badge of a territorial regiment called the Artists' Rifles. The man who gave it to me was lost in Norway in the spring of that terrible year, 1940.
Eileen was in London all through the Blitz.
Were you in love with this man?
He was in love with me.
This badge came into existence when the Artists' Rifles were made over into a special air service outfit in 1947.
Oh, there must be some mistake.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Is the other way to say I'm a liar? That I never knew Paul, never loved him. He was never missing in action. He never gave me that badge, that I bought it in a curio shop.
I think you did. But Paul Marston was missing in action in Norway in 1942.
The war was a rough time, Marlowe.
Yeah.
Memories get confused.
Yeah. This is a certified copy of a marriage certificate, August 1942, from Somerset House in London. Paul Edward Marston and Eileen Victoria Samsel. Was that you?
Yes, it was.
Marston was a fake name. In the army, you had to have permission to get married. He faked his name instead. But I had his army history under his real name.
Howard, please understand that the man was dead long before I met Roger. I never stopped using my maiden name. Roger knew all about it. How he was killed in action. Lost me.
Your husband denied knowing the name Paul Marston.
Howard, must I be subjected to this?
I don't understand why you lied about the dates of 1940 instead of 1942, wearing a badge Marston couldn't have given.
He did. Perhaps not this one. Oh, it's like a dream to me. Perhaps I'm lost. Perhaps I don't want to remember. So many friends were killed in the bombing. Always the kind and gentle ones get killed.
Let's stop this, Marlowe.
One more question. Did you ever see Paul Marston again?
How could I when he was dead?
Of course. Now, I think we'll get back to town. I'll just collect the manuscript and, I'm sorry, I mean...
Spencer, I told you Marston was a fake name. And he wasn't reported killed, just missing. He was taken prisoner. He was in New York using that name 6 years ago. I heard about it because the scars made him conspicuous.
What?
Paul Marston was Terry Lennox, and he lived just down the road.
Eileen?
I saw him just once. He was dreadfully changed. Not my memory. He knew me. It was at a party at Linda Loring's. We didn't speak. The next day he left his wife. Then I heard she divorced him. He was down and out. I used to dream that I would find him one day, just as he was. I wasn't prepared. And then he married her again, that whore. A whore who had also been with my husband.
Did Roger kill her?
Did he tell you?
It was tearing him to pieces not to.
He didn't know. He couldn't remember.
Well, that sort of thing doesn't happen.
I was there. I saw him do it. I spied on them. I should be ashamed of that, I suppose, but I'm ashamed of nothing. The time came, as it must to people like Roger, when he was no longer a satisfactory lover. She screamed at him, stark naked. Then she tried to hit him with the statuette of the monkey. Roger was drunk. He'd had sudden spells of violence before. Oh, you can guess the rest. He was my husband. He'd done an awful thing, but she was an awful woman.
Have you any more to tell us?
It was destroying him. Perhaps he'd remember that afternoon he killed himself. We'll never know. Do we want to know? Please, Howard, I'm very tired. I can't answer anymore. I must lie down.
Of course.
Sylvia Lennox wasn't beaten to death. She was shot to death first by a Mauser. You don't happen to have one?
I've told you my story. I'm going upstairs now. I do not wish to be disturbed any further.
What was all that? Did she kill Sylvia Lennox?
Yeah. Shot her and then beat her face to pulp. That set up Wade as our suspect. But Terry was a gentleman. He protected her. He took the rap. Except that I didn't believe it. So she had to know how much I knew. And in the end, she had to kill Wade to stop him talking.
We've got to call the police.
Tomorrow.
Oh, but damn it.
We haven't enough hard evidence to fill a traffic ticket. Let the boys who are paid for it work it out.
Why, there's such a thing as justice.
Tomorrow.
Well, I suppose you know what you're doing. Anyway, she must be at least a little insane. They'd never convict her, would they?
They won't try. The cops closed this case. But she doesn't know that. I was a one-man death watch through the dark hours until I got the phone call from Candy. I knew he had listened to all we said. He knew the score. And he had been loyal to his boss. He had left her alone until the morning. He told me the bottle of Demerol pills was empty, and she was dead. I told him to tell the truth to the cops, that I made coffee. Yards of coffee. Strong, bitter, boiling hot, depraved, the lifeblood of bone-tired men. Marlowe.
This is Lieutenant Olds. Okay, wise guy, get down here and suffer.
You could have told us. The phones were working the whole day, all day, but you couldn't tell us.
Would you have believed it? What would you have done anything about it?
Now listen, I told you, a wise guy never fools anybody but himself. This time you've gone too far.
Ernie, slow down.
Sit down, Marlowe. This is Captain Hernandez.
Marlowe. Okay. Mrs. Wade left a confession, a purported confession. Now, there's a background of emotional exhaustion, bereavement, drugs, a strain of a clandestine marriage, and Lennox coming back, and so on. In all the circumstances, the DA's office don't feel the confession will be grounds for an indictment, even if she had lived. They see no reason for it to be published. There'll be no inquest. That's what the DA's office has told me.
I was all set to pull her in for questioning. I had evidence. Wade did have too much alcohol in his blood. He couldn't have killed himself.
Did you find a Mauser?
Lennox found it. He says Wade never threw her downstairs. She fell. She drove the guy nuts. She was a dream girl. Some of her was here and now, but a lot was there and then. If she ever got hot, it wasn't for her husband.
Goodbye, coppers.
What are you not convinced about?
If anybody had bothered to do any real solid work on the Lennox case in the first place, they would have dug up the connections.
That's not how police investigations work, and you know it. You don't fool around with an open and shut case when you have a written confession from Lennox and a suicide afterwards.
So, now you have two confessions for the same crime. I take it you believe hers. But the DA says no publicity, so why stir it up? The truth doesn't matter.
Are you telling us?
We have our instructions. I have to go down the hall. Before you go, you might want to read a confession. Here. And listen, there are 5 photocopies in the file. Don't touch them.
I made them myself. They're not official.
Come on, Bernie, it's over. We've got work to do.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Thanks. Thanks, Captain. I took it straight to Lonnie Morgan of the L.A. Journal. I was drinking a gimlet in Victor's when the evening edition hit the street. It was on page 1. I drank another gimlet and thought about Terry down there in Mexico writing a confession. And a bell that should have rung long before rang in the back of my head. I took a cab back to my quiet, empty house set by itself at the top of all those steps. The door was lying open. Mindy and some out-of-town boys were waiting for me. He started giving me the treatment Big Willie Magoon got. Then Bernie Olds walked in like the 5th Cavalry. Magoon was a lousy cop, but still a cop, so they couldn't let Mindy get away with it. Captain Hernandez had set me up. The leaked confession had been the bait to flush him out. They even had Randy Starr's cooperation. He sent the boys himself from Vegas. They were cops. Starr was on the police commission there. Police business. Wonderful, uplifting, idealistic work.
Marlowe. This is Linda Loring. just come back from Lake Tahoe. Someone up there is boiling about what was in the paper. Fortunately, my almost ex-husband got most of the blame.
But what do you mean, almost ex?
Paris is an excellent place for a quiet divorce, and for one's father approves. You should go away, too.
Why?
You tried so hard to do the right thing that...
They've been here.
What?
They had nothing to do with your father.
Are you all right?
Do you care?
Of course I care.
Well, I'm a little bruised. I'm just going to have a drink to ease the pain, if you care to join me.
I'm packing to catch a plane, but... Well, perhaps I could fit a drink in. Just one. Where?
I haven't a car tonight.
Then I'll come to your place.
Hello. Would you consider marrying me?
It wouldn't last 6 months.
For God's sake, what do you expect from life?
I'm 47. I'm spoiled by independence.
I'm 36. It's not a crime to have money. Or to marry it. We could both fly to Paris. Do you have something against marriage?
Oh, for 2 people in 100, it's wonderful. The rest, just work at it. In 10 years, you wouldn't know me in the street.
You bastard. I want more champagne.
This way, you'll remember me.
You conceited bastard. Why should I remember you?
I'll get the champagne.
I've paid you the greatest compliment I know how to pay. I asked you to marry me.
You paid me a greater compliment.
Fool, Marla. You utter fool. All right, I won't remember you in 6 months. Bring out the champagne.
The French have a phrase for it. Dire adieu, c'est mourir un peu. To say goodbye is to die a little. The bastards have a phrase for everything, and they are always right. Well, there was just one more thing to do. I went to Potter's lawyer and asked him what he had seen in Mexico. He told me about the body. I asked him why a town with only one street like Ocataclan would have a street mailbox. Then I waited. A month later, an elegant Mexican walked into my office. He had dark hair and a mustache and a note from Randy Starr introducing him as Cisco Mayoranos.
Senor, I was at the hotel at the time, working there as day clerk. The mozo was afraid to go up to Senor Lennox's room. I went. He gave me the letter and some money, which I did not take. He had it gone. I heeded the letter. I was going down the stairs when I heard a shot.
Any Americanos at the hotel?
Mm-hmm. 2, on a hunting trip.
Did they go near the room?
Why should they?
Go back to Star and tell him to send somebody who knows what he's talking about.
Senor, you doubt my word?
Did you mail the letter in the box in front of the hotel?
Ocataclan is a very small place. He has no need of a street mailbox.
You never went to his room for a letter. The 2 Americans went there. I'm telling you what I think happened. One of them was Menendez. He bribed the local police. Then they slugged Terry, put a blank in the Mauser, put it to his head, and made a nasty powder burn. Then he was doped and packed in ice so that Potter's lawyer thought he saw a cold and very dead stiff. The next day, a coffin with stones in it was buried. Possible?
If the Senor Menendez had relatives in Ocataclan, possible. But you are still accusing me of lying. You say I did not go to the room for the letter?
No. You were already there. You were writing it.
I suppose it's a little early for a gimlet. You like the plastic surgery, old top? They even changed my nose.
How close did I come?
Close enough. Mendy didn't like me writing to you, but I held out for that. He undersold you. He didn't notice the bit about the mailbox.
Did you know who killed Sylvia?
It's pretty tough to turn a woman in for murder. Even if you knew her long ago and in another country.
How is Mendy these days?
Retired to Acapulco. How about that gimlet?
Here. Your portrait of Madison. I enjoyed playing with it. The 500 is still in the coffee can. I'll keep that for expenses.
Keep it all. You could have let things lie.
Sure. After Eileen killed her husband and got away with it, she might have gone on to better things. What did he matter? He just wrote books.
I didn't see any choice. I was the prime suspect. I got scared. Mandy was there to help. I only had a few hours to sort it out before I got to you that morning. What should I have done?
Pick up the money, Terry.
We were pretty good friends once.
Yeah. For a long time, I couldn't figure. Till I realized you were a nice guy only because you had a nice nature. You're a moral defeatist. Maybe the war did it to you. Maybe you were born that way.
I grew up in an orphanage in Montreal. The act is all there is. I couldn't have told you any more than I did that morning. You wouldn't have stood for it.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
I came back too late.
You wouldn't have come back at all if I hadn't smoked you out.
I am what you see. Senor Mayoranos, who leaves in Mexico and has a nice time.
Adios, Senor Mayoranos.
Goodbye, Marla.
I sat and I sat. Maybe I wanted him to come back and talk me out of the way I felt, but he didn't. Nobody could. That was the last I saw of him. It was goodbye. Goodbye to all of them, including Linda. Except the cops, of course. No way has been invented to say goodbye to them in this cruel world.
In Bill Morrison's radio adaptation of Raymond Chandler's novel, The Long Goodbye, Ed Bishop played the part of Philip Marlowe, Toby Robbins that of Eileen Wade, and Margaret Robertson, Linda Loring. Roger Wade was played by David March, Terry Lennox, Peter Marinker, Howard Spencer, Don Fellows, Mendy Menendez, Blaine Fairman, Bernie Oles, Harry Taub, Dr. Loring, Paul Maxwell, Harlan Potter, Bob Sherman, Captain Hernandez, Gordon Stern, Lonnie Morgan, Henry Knowles, Grants, Rod Beecham, Sergeant Green, William Roberts, Detective Dayton, Neville Jason, Willie Magoon, Bill Morrison, Chick Agostino, Malcolm Gerard, Candy, Anthony Daniels, and the barman, Brian Hewlett. The music consultant was Adrian Edwards. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.
You're listening to KCRW's special Thanksgiving Day Philip Marlowe Marathon. That was The Long Goodbye. The Big Sleep is coming up in just a moment. This is KCRW Santa Monica. We have a news flash from the Associated Press. British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher has resigned. British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher announced today that she's stepping down after 11 and a half years. She'd been faced with rising opposition and had failed to beat back a challenge this week from within her own Conservative Party. One member of parliament says Thatcher is the greatest peacetime prime minister Britain has ever had. Even opposition Labour members of the House of Commons are paying tribute to Thatcher as their longtime opponent. But Thatcher has said no to Labour's call to hold elections now. That appeal came from Labour leader Neil Kinnock, who says the British people should be able to choose a new government in the wake of Thatcher's resignation. Even though she's stepping down, Thatcher's Conservatives still have a majority in the Commons. Tory lawmakers will choose her successor next week. Again, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher has resigned. There'll be more on the story when we go to All Things Considered from National Public Radio at 4:30 today.